Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to get to this message on spiritual warfare here in just a minute. But first, I want to give you an update on the Africa mission, what's going on over here. We're looking at two sites for crusades in January. The first is in Butere, which is in Kakamega County, west of Mumias. It's about an hour from here where I live. And so we're looking at that. It's more of a village location, but there's many people there. So we could have a lot of pastors involved and a lot of village people involved. And then the second location we're looking at is in Arusha. We have one of our people over there in Arusha right now as I speak. And he is organizing a pastor's group, an association of pastors, to host us in Arusha. And Arusha is next to Mount Kilimanjaro in the north of Tanzania, the neighboring country in to Kenya. And so Arusha is a city of about 500,000 to 1 million people. And it's a beautiful city right at the base of Mount Kilimanjaro. And so we're looking at that for a possible site for a crusade. Pray with us, pray for that crusade, and we thank you if you would participate with us in hosting these crusades and seeing these crusades go forth. Also asking for support for the children in the children's home in Makunda, and we have about 35 children out there now, and so we are very thankful for the Lord for their provision, and we supply all of their school fees, their medical needs, their clothing, their food, the staff to take care of them. All of that comes because of your support. And so we want to hear from you. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast, and we can get you information on how you can get involved in these great Africa mission projects. Well, today, as I spoke, we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. And if you turn to 1 Peter 5, in the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 8, and this is Peter talking about our enemy. And beloved, we have to recognize, as I said before, that we have an enemy, and that enemy wants to destroy you. John 10:10, I'll throw that in at the start. It says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus Christ said, I came to give you life, and to give it to you abundantly. And so Peter here in 1 Peter 5:8, who was a disciple of Jesus, we know Peter preached all through the New Testament, starting in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. And so he says in verse 8 here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, beloved, we have an adversary. He is a worthy opponent. We don't give him more credit than he has coming, than he has due, but he is a worthy opponent, and don't disrespect him. Don't take him lightly. Don't think that you're not in a battle. And beloved, when you come into the kingdom, maybe some of you are new in your kingdom walk. Maybe some of you have not had the experience of spiritual warfare. You've had it, but you didn't realize that what was going on. And when you're walking with the devil is happy to just leave you where you are. He'll continue to try to take you down. But when you come from that place and you come into the kingdom and you start to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and you confess his name and you bow your knee to him, and you say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to confess your name. I want to love you. I want to honor you. And even beyond that, I want to do your will. I want to keep your commandments. When you come to that place, then you have made a declaration, an open declaration, I would say, of war against the adversary, the devil, who is trying to keep you from your kingdom destiny. And beloved, God created you in his image, Genesis 1:26. He created you in his image, and he created you to worship him and to love him and to honor him. That is the reason why you were created. That is the purpose for your life. And the Bible says in Proverbs, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings, or the glory of man, to search it out. And beloved, that is your kingdom walk. That is your calling, for you to search out why God has specifically placed you here on this earth. What is your destiny? What is your calling? And you may say, what does that mean, my destiny? What does that mean, my calling? Every single person has a destiny that God has declared over them. Every single person has a calling that God has specifically placed on that person. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know why God created you, and you don't know what your destiny is, you don't know what your calling is, you need to pray. You need to ask God for understanding. You need to ask God to reveal your calling to you. And then when He does, you need to get about your kingdom walk, and you need to get about your purpose here on the earth. And again, if you have been living for the devil, maybe you have been wayward or backslidden, or you've never come to the Lord and confessed His name, but now you're in the kingdom. Your calling is very, very urgently important to you, because when you are walking in that calling, when you're walking in that place of willful obedience to the Lord, that is the safest place for you to be. That is the very best place for you to be. You may still be a teacher, a truck driver, a farmer, and have vocation or whatever, but God may be, even be calling you to be a preacher, a pastor, a missionary. Who knows what God may be calling you to do. But when you seek Him, the Lord says, when you seek Me, you will find Me. Well, the adversary wants to keep you from your calling. The adversary wants to keep you mired down, backslidden, stuck in the mud, off in the ditch, away from your calling. And beloved, he will do everything in his power to derail you and to delay you and to get you out into the wilderness and let you go round and round in circles for 40 years, just like the children of Israel did. And he will do everything in his power to destroy you and keep you from living out your days and living out your calling and serving the Lord in the way that God has planned for you. And so Peter says that your adversary, he walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, he's not a lion, he's a counterfeit. Our lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, is the true lion. He's the real lion. And so this faker, this counterfeit, who was thrown out of heaven, he was a worship leader at one time in heaven. You can read about that in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28. This counterfeit, this faker, is a fallen angel, and he is going around seeking whom he may devour. He looks like a roaring lion, but he is a counterfeit and a faker. He can't create anything on his own, but he can create havoc, and he can counterfeit the kingdom of God, and he makes it look shiny. He makes it look like there's sparkling things there. He makes it look like fool's gold, and so you bite on it, you take on it, you do things that the devil lures you into, and it's a trap, and you don't realize it until it's too late, and then you realize you're in a battle for your life. You realize you're in a battle, and the devil is trying to destroy you. Well, Peter goes on to say here in verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Well, how do you resist the devil? Well, there's several ways you can, and there's several ways that you must and that you have to. You have to get your life on track. You have to get good disciplines established, or another way to say good habits of living established in your life that will help you to resist the devil. And these have to become second nature to you. You have to every day spend time in your secret place, spend time in your prayer closet, praying to the Lord, not just begging Him for bread for your table, not just begging Him for a raise at your job, not just begging him for him to bring your kids back if they're off in a wayward direction, but spend time in the presence of the Lord, praising him, thanking him. It's okay to ask for provision. It's okay to make your petitions and your requests made unto the Lord, but do it with thanksgiving, with supplication. That is a plea for mercy, understanding that we have nothing, that we are owed by the Lord, that the Lord doesn't owe us anything. But we have been created to worship him and to bring glory and honor to him. And so when we resist the devil, we spend time in prayer, we spend time in Bible study. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Beloved, if you're not reading the Bible, you need to do that. I would suggest every day, just as you feed your physical body every day. You don't skip meals usually. In fact, when 12 o'clock comes, you get hungry. And when 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock comes, you get hungry, even if you're not hungry. And I would encourage you to look at your Bible every day, feed your spirit man, feed your soul with the nourishment that comes from reading God's word, and then also spend time in worship and in fellowship that you can be encouraged. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints, and so much more so as the end day draws near. Beloved, it is important that we gather together, find a good Bible-believing church, a church of people that pray together, a church of people that study the Bible together, and they will give you encouragement, and they will help you with your Christian walk. They will help you stay strong when you are weak, and you can help them stay strong when they are weak. And so this is how you resist the devil, and you will start to see then God open up avenues and doors of opportunity in your life, and you will start to see then the kingdom walk start to be realized in your life, and the devil then will not derail you, he will not delay you, and he will not throw you off into the ditch when you get these disciplines established in your life, and then you can move forward with haste as God directs you. So he says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Well, what does Peter mean by that? What he means is that all of the body of Christ, all over the world, and I've been in many countries, I'm sure some of you have also traveled in the world as missionaries or doing short-term missions or traveled for business or whatever, but all over the world, Christians are basically the same. We serve the same God. Yes, there are cultural adaptations, there are cultural nuances to the body of Christ, and churches look a little bit different here in Africa than they do in America, and we have a vibrant dancing, singing, worship culture that is in the churches here that's much different than Africa. We also have a crusade culture here. People will stand out in the open fields and listen to gospel messages for 3-4 hours and listen to worship teams and singers for 3-4 hours on a hot sunny day or even a rainy day. And so there are cultural differences, but beloved, all over the world, the body of Christ is basically the same. And your brothers in India, your brothers in China, your brothers in America, your brothers in Africa, and your sisters, we're all experiencing the same type of sufferings. We're all experiencing spiritual warfare. And so when my brothers and sisters in America suffer, we here in Africa suffer with you. And we know that America is the bell cow or the bellwether of the body of Christ all over the world, because America is the greatest missionary sending nation. It's a nation that has sent missionaries to every corner of the world, build hospitals, build clinics, build Bible colleges, build churches. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters in America. And the encounter team that came here this last summer, I'm sure, can tell you that the body of Christ here is a loving body of Christ. It's a loving bunch of people, and they were more than welcoming to our brothers and sisters here in America. They loved on them, they welcomed them, and so there was great warfare around that mission trip, and yet we had a victorious mission trip. And so the sufferings that you suffer here in America are similar to the ones we suffer in the world. And beloved, even pagans and unbelievers and people of pagan religions suffer also, the difference being they don't have Jesus Christ. They don't have the Holy Spirit to comfort them and to guide them and to counsel them and to give them the direction that we in the body of Christ have. Well, Peter goes on here to say in verse 10, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Well, that's quite a mouthful from Peter, but what he's saying is that you have suffered, you go through suffering, we go through suffering here in Africa, and then the God of peace, the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory and called us to his eternal purpose by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, he will perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And before you know it, you have the strength to face that enemy. Before you know it, that addiction that has been wiping you out for 10 or 15 years, it no longer has that grip and that spell on you. Before you know it, those fights that you and your wife used to erupt into over and over, those are a thing of the past. And before you know it, the tendency to be lazy and steal and lie and cheat will be out of your life. And God will perfect you, he will strengthen you, he will settle you, and the devil will no longer have a grip on you. The devil will no longer be pulling you around like a hog with a ring in his nose. You're going to be established in God's kingdom. You're going to be established. Your feet are going to be on a firm foundation, and you will be established in the kingdom of God. Well, beloved, I hope that you today, that you are being established. And again, if you have never confessed Jesus, you've been out there serving the devil, you've been in a place of spiritual warfare, but you didn't even realize it. But when you come into the kingdom, then you understand you have a bullseye on your back, and the devil is taking shots at you. He has darts that he is throwing at you, and so you have to be prepared for that, and you have to understand then the intensity of the warfare increases when you are trying to do the will of God. Well, we're going to then jump over to Ephesians chapter 6, and this is a classical text that the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians regarding spiritual warfare. And we're not going to get through all of this today, maybe just a few verses. And then next week we'll take up the armor of God and other aspects of spiritual warfare. But starting in verse 10 in Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's a verse 11. And so, as I spoke before, the devil is shooting his arrows, he's shooting his darts at you, or the Apostle Paul calls it here, the wiles of the devil. These are the schemes of the devil. The devil is always scheming to try to take you down, and he will attack you in your weakness. He will attack you where you have familiar spirits and where you have weakness, where you or your family, even going back several generations, where you have fallen before and your family has fallen before. Maybe it's a problem with alcohol. Maybe it's a problem with drugs. Maybe it's a problem with laziness or cheating or lying or stealing. And so the devil will attack you in those very same places where you have stumbled before, or where your family has had generation curses spoken against them and activated against them, and it has become a stronghold of iniquity in the family, and it's very hard then for you to deal with it and come out of that place of weakness where the devil has attacked your family. Well, Paul goes on here in verse 12, and this is the hierarchy of the devil's kingdom. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so Paul lists four different levels of spiritual entities there. And again, this is the hierarchy, the counterfeit hierarchy of the kingdom of the devil. And you can call it a kingdom because it's very well organized. If you don't believe in the devil's kingdom, I'm sorry about that. But beloved, you're going to encounter it if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to encounter it, and you're going to encounter principalities, and these are the demonic forces over whole regions and countries and areas, large areas, principalities, and these are principalities that are very strong, and they control the activity of whole regions and whole nations of people. The Lord showed me years ago in a service over in Kilifi in Kenya, the principalities over this nation. And I will have to say, everywhere I have spoken this message, everywhere in Kenya that I've spoken this message, people are in agreement that these are the three main strongholds over this nation. And the first is corruption. Corruption is the major stronghold of stealing and lying and thievery and deception that is over this whole country, and it keeps people in poverty. It grinds them down because it's such a oppressive, suffocating, strangulating force that it just keeps people down and grinds them down in poverty and eventually kills them and eats them. And so these principalities are very strong here in Kenya. We have some different ones in America, but the principalities over America are very strong also. And that is why, as the body of Christ, we need to stay in prayer and stay on our knees and keep fighting against these principalities. And then the second are powers, and powers are demonic powers that influence institutions, that corrupt institutions, and also influence and corrupt individuals. And then third, Paul lists the rulers of the darkness of this age. And these rulers are also in places over cities and over neighborhoods, over institutions. Here in Mumias, where I live in Kenya, this is the Muslim capital of West Kenya. And so I did not realize this. They call this Little Mombasa around here. Mombasa is out on the coast, and it has a great Arabian, Middle Eastern culture and influence on the coast of Kenya. And Mombasa, Kilifi, Malindi, those cities over there have a high Muslim population, and it's a little bit like being in Little Arabia. But here in West Kenya, we have another stronghold city, and that is Mumias, the place where I live, and it is the Muslim capital of West Kenya. And then also Paul lists the last one, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so these strongholds, these demonic strongholds, these entities, they have access to the heavenly places. At this time, they're roaming around, as Peter said. The devil is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so they have access to the heavenly places, not the highest heaven of heaven, the abode of God, but they have the access to the other heavenly places, the atmosphere, the stars, the constellations, the universe. And so this hierarchy is in motion every day, and it is highly organized, as I said before, and it is organized to destroy your destiny, to destroy you physically, spiritually, and in your soul, to destroy you so that you cannot fulfill your purpose in the kingdom of God. Well, next week we're going to take up more in this Ephesians chapter 6 passage and look at the gospel armor. And so you'll want to tune in and listen to that. Share these messages with your friends. tell them to tune in on Sunday morning. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We invite you to help support this ministry, not only to keep these radio broadcasts coming, but also these missions in Africa, the Children's Home, the great church we have there at Mukunda, and the crusades that we are organizing for this coming year. And we would love to hear from you. We would love to have your prayer support and your financial support to see these missions continue, to see these missions succeed, to see these missions succeed and thrive. And you will be blessed, we will be blessed, and the kingdom of God will be blessed. And so we would love to hear from you. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.